Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry. I'm tired of running and running and running into the things that kill my soul. Tired of always swinging hammers at the love that makes me whole. I'm running. All the roads that lead to you, sitting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my name.
Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss ministry. My name is Daniel. We've got a special guest on with us today, Guy Duren, who is a deacon at his local church. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But before we get into that, James, catch us up a little bit, man. What's going on with your life?
Just working on schoolwork right now. After we get off here, I'm going to be writing a wonderful paper on the First Baptist leaders in the colonies, Holland, and England. So just a bucket of fun here in Vernon, Alabama. How's everything going your way?
Man, things are going really good. We have got a lot going on. You know, we've been in Calera, Alabama for almost a year. So things have been going really good here with our youth group and just trucking right along, getting ready for summer camp coming up and other events that will be going on leading up to the summer. We're working on building a house right now. So that's been a big process and but a very fun time that we're getting to do and be in right now. So we're excited about that. And then, man, I picked up a second job because I'm bivocational. For any listeners who may not know that already, I am driving a dump truck and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. I feel like a real man. Feels like it puts a little bit more hair on my chest. I wish our listeners could see Guy's face with that big thick beard, because I think that's what this dump truck driving job is doing to me. It's making me more of a man. So it's been good. It's been a lot of fun to get to do that and, of course, make a little extra income. That's been an awesome thing. God truly has blessed our family by putting this in my path. And a guy that got me the job, he goes to our church, so he's super flexible with just all of the ins and outs of ministry, allowing me to have different days of the week off. When the schedule needs to change, he helps me do that. So it's been really awesome to be able to have that flexibility. Really been a great blessing for us. So, but that's all I've got about me. So just to kind of give a brief introduction about our special guest today, Guy Duren is a deacon at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And I won't take too much from you, Guy, because I'm going to let you share with us what's going on in your life and who you are. But Guy and myself have known each other for quite some time now. I used to be the student minister there at Mount Pleasant for 6 years before I came here to Calera. So when we started talking about a deacon in a local church to get to be on our show, we really wanted to find someone who embodies truly the picture of a servant. And so in that, Guy, you were the first person that came to my mind, man, when I started thinking about who to get. And, you know, we've got some great deacons here in our local church that I've gotten to know over these last few months that I've been here. And James, I'm sure you know some great deacons. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to decide on that one person that you find and that you go with to do something like this. But Guy, I just felt like you were the best embodiment of that. And so I want to give you a minute just to introduce yourself, share with us about who you are, your family. And in that, if you would, go ahead and share just a brief testimony of your own salvation.
Okay. Well, like you said, my name's Guy Duren, and I'm a member and deacon at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Gordo. My wife and I, Jennifer, we have been married for almost 17 years. We have three kids, a seventh grader named Connor, a fifth grader named Catherine, and a third grader named Camden. They're getting bigger and crazier every day, it seems like. I teach high school physics and chemistry at the local high school, at Gordo High School. Help coach a little bit. So between my family, school, and church, I feel like I'm running in circles half the time. You know how that goes. But as far as my own salvation experience, when I was in fourth grade, I was 9 years old in fourth grade, I had an aunt that was in a wreck, and she passed away a few days later after the wreck. And the summer after that was when I got saved. I'd heard so many people talk about my Aunt Vicky and the kind of Christian woman she was. She was only about 24, 25 at the time of the wreck. But I'd heard so many people talk about what a Christian woman she was. And at Vacation Bible School on a Wednesday, when Brother Lee Hartley came and spoke to us and presented the gospel to us, it just hit me that if I died right then, that I would never see my aunt again. And I knew that I had to go forward for salvation. So I talked with him that day. And then the next Sunday, I was baptized. You know, I was at a young age, and I've hit or miss in my relationship with God through the years, but now I'm fairly well on track, it seems like, and my relationship with God is a lot closer than what it used to be. I'll say that right now.
I think it's pretty incredible how the Lord uses just so many different avenues to bring someone to salvation. You know, for you, it was your aunt. You know, for somebody else, it might be, you know, well, not even to start listing things. I mean, there are a million different avenues that the Lord could bring someone to salvation. It's incredible.
God uses anything he can to get people's attention to have that relationship with him. You're right. For each person, there's something a little bit different about it.
Right. And whatever it is, however he uses or whatever he uses to speak to your heart is exactly what he knows that you need. That's gonna truly trigger that response. That's how we know it's only a work of the Holy Spirit, because only he could place that exact thing in our path that he knows will cause that response. So
exactly right.
That's incredible. So tell me again, how long, and you, if you don't know off the top of your head, give us an estimated amount of time that you've been a follower of Christ.
That was, good grief. I'll be 43, so it's been nearly 33 years.
Wow, okay. 33 years.
That's
fantastic. And, you know, I mean, I can't help but just bring this up. So often we get wrapped up in the really dramatic testimonies, people who come to salvation through drug addiction or through, you know, just any avenue of some type of life abuse or something like that. They come to this miraculous salvation and they get redeemed and rescued from this just very dangerous lifestyle. And not to take away from those testimonies or those stories, because those are incredible stories as well. But I really believe that when we come to salvation as a child and when we are raised up in the faith from a young age, that that is just as much, if not a more powerful testimony of the grace and mercy of God coming into our lives at such a young age and raising us up throughout that lifetime in the faith. I love hearing those stories. And to be completely honest, I really wish we heard them more often.
Yeah, that's the thing. Their testimony doesn't mean much unless it was one of those miraculous 180 degree turns or something like that, but everybody's testimony means something to them.
That's right.
It's not telling who they could reach with it.
Everybody's testimony means something because every testimony has the cross of Christ in it, and that's it. To move forward into the next question, this is a question we ask everyone. How would you define an everyday minister?
An everyday minister. Well, lots of people think that a minister, they think of a youth minister or a pastor or something like that, but if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you're called to be a minister. You can just, the way you treat people, the way you handle situations, just smiling at somebody and asking how they're doing, anything like that you do to be nice to somebody, to help them out, you're being a minister. It doesn't have to be going to the homeless shelter and feeding the homeless every day or something like that, but just helping out where people need help. That's ministry.
Right. And that requires having your eyes open to the needs around you every single day, right where you are.
Exactly.
It's funny. I mentioned a little while ago about driving a dump truck. Man, I have found that time as I'm driving to be such a wonderful time just to spend talking to the Lord. And it's funny, I'm going on a foreign mission trip here soon. And so in my prayer today, I was asking the Lord just to start laying a burden on my heart for Ecuador, the place that we're going. And when I was praying for that, the one thing he laid on my heart even more than that was to have a burden for right where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I love how you define that because it shows us that right where you are is what makes you a minister, not where you're going in 6 months, no, not where you might be next year, but where you are right now. How you respond to that is how you minister.
Exactly. I mean, you know where I work at Gordo High School, you spend a lot of time up there, you know, some of the kids I deal with, and sometimes just smiling and talk, hey, how was your day?
Yeah.
And you can tell sometimes that right there is all it takes to get them to change just a little bit and their eyes light up because somebody cares about them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Guy, this is really one of the reasons that I thought about asking you to be on our show is because you embody the idea of a deacon or a servant just in how you treat others every day outside of the walls of the church. You know, a lot of times we have a tendency to get wrapped up in ministers within the walls, how we operate, how we function in the context of the church building. But, you know, I believe with all my heart, because I've heard lots of stories that you've shared about how you've gotten to interact with students over the years. And in today's age, being able to interact with students and share Christ with them, it's a really difficult thing to do. You have to be very careful in the way that you do it because, you know, because of the world that we live in, it's you can get in a lot of trouble for doing that, and yet you continue to faithfully seek those opportunities. And so I think that says a lot. So to kind of switch gears and move on to the next question there, I want to ask you about kind of how you came to be a deacon at Mount Pleasant. What was that process? How did you get to that place? Maybe like How long have you been a deacon? How long have you been serving there? And, you know, what was it that the church was looking for before they actually came to you or nominated you as a deacon?
Well, I actually was ordained as a deacon at a previous church, probably about 13 years ago or so. And things happened, and Jennifer and I felt like we needed to be somewhere else. And so we looked around, and we ended up coming to Mount Pleasant and visiting, and ended up felt at home here. At our church, if you remember, somebody becomes a member here that was already ordained as a deacon. After about 6 months or so, we'll talk to him about maybe joining our deacon board. And that's what happened. My father-in-law was a deacon here, still is. And after about 6 or 7 months, I mean, he and I got to talking one day when we were working, and he said that one of the older deacons, Mr. Gaines House, was thinking about going inactive because he had served for, gosh, 50, 60 years or more, I think. And so they needed somebody to take his place. And he said they were thinking about me since I was already ordained as a deacon. And in that time, after we had joined, my wife and I had stepped in. We had helped out teaching Sunday school or working with the kids and just different roles. And they saw that I was serving already and just things would need to be done. My wife and I would step in and help out if they needed help. And so we were already serving. And so they decided to ask me to join on the deacon board. And that's how that came about. And I think we've been members here for about 9 or 10 years, I guess. And so about 9 and a half years, I've been a deacon at this church.
And, you know, a lot of times we see in a smaller church context, it's harder really to allow deacons to roll on and roll off. Yes. Like a lot of larger churches do. And I do believe that doing that is a healthy thing. It allows deacons to have that time of rest, to focus on their family. And in a smaller context, really and truly, when you look at it, it's just not as easy to make that happen.
It's not, because you don't have as many men to choose from as far as deacons. And there's some, you know, there's some that don't feel like they're called to be a deacon.
Right.
They're doing everything a deacon does except have the name deacon
right
to them. But yeah, it is. My father-in-law makes the joke that at Mount Pleasant, you're a deacon for life. The chairman of the deacons rolls on and off, but if you're a deacon, you're there until they put you in the ground.
You're there until you get fed up and leave, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
But we got to get people. James, do you tend to kind of how's that work at your church, man, with deacons?
Well, we don't have deacons at my church, actually. Okay. A little background on our church and why we don't. We're a church of about 30, 35, and we've just never got to the point that where we've been able to establish that leadership. We do have men, like a guy was pointing out, that serve the church, but we've not implemented the official title of deacon or anything of that nature. Not as of yet. We're looking at doing it in the future, but the issue I'm running into right now is that all of the men in our church are related, so we're trying to figure out how to do that without having any issues in that area.
Yeah.
But I did want to point out something about what Guy said that I find so significant when we're talking about looking for deacons, is what they saw in him was that he was already serving the church.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that's the most crucial thing when looking for someone to take their role as a deacon, is to find someone that is serving already, because that's the example they're already setting without that title. So, you know, they're going to do it willingly, even if that title is what comes with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's certainly something that I believe every church should be looking at when looking to nominate someone, a man as a deacon in their church. I don't think that you just look at somebody and think to yourself whether they're a good person or not, because I can't tell you how many good men we have in our church who don't know Jesus yet. But it's looking at someone who exudes the Spirit of the Lord, shows in their own personal life that Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of their life, and that once they become an official deacon, like you said a minute ago, Guy, you're really nothing. The only thing that's changing is your title.
Exactly.
That's the big the big factor that a lot of times we need to come back to in realizing that the only thing that's making me a deacon is now my title. I've been serving in this role for some time now. It shows your faithfulness. It shows that you're not doing it because of the title, you're doing it because of the call that the Lord's already placed on your heart.
And I'll be honest, most of the people since I've become a deacon, if we start talking to some of the other men about, hey, we think you would serve as a deacon well, most of the men we talk to, they automatically think that they don't deserve to be a deacon.
Yeah.
They're humble. Exactly. They're humble. they're, like we said, lots of the ones we talked to, they're already doing everything that a deacon does.
Right. So, yeah. So, well, and you know, I just wanted to mention, just to kind of make sure that our listeners know, which, you know, I'm fairly certain that our listeners already have a solid understanding of what a deacon is biblically. But, you know, we see in the book of Acts where the apostles are needing to focus more on preaching and sharing the gospel, and the needs of the people were getting, I say getting in the way, that's probably not the best way to put it, but you understand what I'm saying. The needs of the people were there, but they needed help to meet those needs. And so they brought in men, called them deacons, which really just meant servants. They were serving tables. They were serving food.
Exactly.
And so I think when we see that, and we see how the role of deacon has kind of evolved over all those years, what we really see above all else, when you really kind of boil it down, is deacons, first and foremost, must be servants. And that's how they show and reveal their leadership, is through how they serve. And so, Guy, I believe, just in knowing you the way that I do, that you definitely embody that well.
I appreciate that.
Let me ask you this, man. As a deacon, what would you say that your greatest responsibility is in the church?
My eyes open for needs. And working with Glenn, our pastor, you know, like you just said, deacons came about because the disciples couldn't take care of everything and still preach and teach the way they needed to. So as a deacon, I try my best to work with Glenn, and sometimes there might be some things that are happening that I can head off for him, so it's something he doesn't have to worry about. You know, put out fires before they start, so to speak. And if you'll just keep your eyes open and pay attention to what's going on, you can help him along by making things easier on the pastor. He doesn't need to run around trying to do everything on his own.
Yeah.
He needs, like I said, he needs to have a break. He needs to be able to have time for his family. He needs to have time to study the word for his sermons. You know, people still expect the pastor to go visit them in the hospital or this, that, and the other, or go visit somebody that's lost or whatever, but deacons can take care of that stuff if the pastor's not able to. So that's, I mean, my biggest thing is just to see the needs and try to help out where I'm needed.
So do you feel like the role of deacon, you know, maybe, because I think that depending on your personality, it can kind of change a little bit. Do you feel like that might be true? Like within y'all's deacon body there at your church, how many deacons are at Mount Pleasant?
Eight. Nine. Yeah, I think it's eight.
Okay. So in that deacon body, do you feel like that role changes depending on who that deacon is and how they operate?
It probably does, because, you know, the Holy Spirit gives everybody different talent. And, you know, like Craig, he's very good at carpentry work and doing this and that. I can swing a hammer if you tell me what to do, but as far as planning and that kind of stuff, I'm not good at it.
Right.
My father-in-law, you know, the old joke about being a jack of all trades, my father-in-law can work on anything. So if somebody has a car that's broke down, or somebody has a water heater that's out, you know, I'll work with him and help carry tools, do whatever he needs, but he's better at that kind of stuff. So I think each deacon needs to figure out what their talents are, what their spiritual gifts are, and their ministry, or what kind of needs to focus around that, and they'll be more prepared. And when you got eight different guys, I'm sure there's some overlap, but you got eight guys and you got different spiritual gifts. Just think about all the different things you can accomplish if everybody's what they're gifted in.
Absolutely.
And we help each other out. But yeah, I think that for each individual deacon, their role is going to be a little bit different individually, but overall, we're still serving.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is not a question that I prompted you with before this episode started, but something that I just thought about. Could you explain to us just a little bit about how you and the deacons strategically make sure that you minister to all the families in the church, and how you make sure that nobody slips through the cracks?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Mount Pleasant was the first church I've ever seen do this. Every deacon is assigned deacon families. So we take our list of active members, and we kind of divvy them up so that each deacon, right now I think everybody has about 10 or 11 individuals or families. And, you know, we all help each other, but like the 10 that are on my list, I try to stay in contact with them, so I know what's going on. If, you know, somebody's sick, if anything's going on, they can talk to me, and so I can help them out if they need to. If they got questions about things going on in the church, there's changes in our church schedule or anything like that, we'll send out texts or calls or whatever, send birthday cards and Christmas cards and things like that. That way, and anytime we have a new person join, they are assigned a personal family deacon. So that way, especially if it's somebody new that's never been to our church, maybe two or three times or whatever, they have somebody personal they can talk to ask questions about why we do things or this, that, and other. And again, they can, but they don't have to run to the pastor to find out all this
stuff.
Right.
So families know that you're the deacon assigned to them as well?
Yes. I'll go up and introduce myself and say, hey, I'm Guy Deere and I'm your family deacon. So I give them my phone number, my email address, whatever they need. And so we can, and I'll exchange information with them so we can contact each other, whichever way works best for them.
Obviously, this would be a question mainly for Glenn, but with that system, has that relieved a lot of the stress from Glenn to do a lot of the follow up with people and all of that?
I think it has, because we'll have our deacon, Glenn always causes stress half the time. You can ask Daniel. because we have our deacons meeting every month, we'll say, if anybody has something going on with one of their families, you know, that's the time when we can share stuff and know it's not going out of that room.
Yes.
And we can say, look, this is going on with this family. We need to be in prayer about this. Or, so-and-so's water heater ran out, busted the other day, and we need to help them get a new one. Now, we can tell things like that, and we got all those different guys plus Glenn. And last time Glenn brings stuff to us, because people still do go to him because he's the pastor. But it is another level if he's out of town or whatever, they know they can go to their family deacon.
Yeah.
And so I think it has worked out really well.
Awesome. Beginning to wrap up the episode, something that I would like to ask you, because we have lots of pastors, people in different staff positions who listen to our podcast. How can you encourage a pastor who may be listening to this podcast as he seeks to train and equip deacons in his own church? How can you just encourage him in that process?
Encourage in finding deacons and training deacons? Yep. Bible. I mean, that's basically, you got to have relationships.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've talked about this for a long time. You got to have that relationship with them. If you only talk to your deacons when there's something going wrong in the church or you need help with something, that's not good. You got to be willing to spend time and build relationships with them and just work together. Some churches, from what I've heard, different things, you know, the preacher tries to run everything and tell the deacons what's going to happen, or vice versa, the deacons try to run everything. And at our church, I mean, you've witnessed it before, we don't always agree exactly what might need to be done or how it needs to be done, but we work together in a way that we still get along.
Yeah.
We figure out a way how to work together no matter what. Yeah. And you've got to have men that you trust and have that relationship with that can be a deacon that's willing to work with you, tell you, hey, look, we need to do it this way or whatever. So you got to have that relationship and have people that you can trust and that trust you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guy, another question that we did not give you beforehand.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we have people that are listening. I don't know if we do or not, but maybe we have someone listening that they're a part of a church. They're not a pastor. They don't teach. They don't do anything like that. And they could see themselves and they kind of feel this calling to be a deacon and to serve in the church. Any kind of pointers that you would give to them or any advice you'd give to them in the meantime?
Well, I would say, first off, don't go up and tell the preacher, hey, you got to tell me to be a deacon or anything like that. But just like I said earlier, if you're serving and you're serving for the right reasons, not because you want the attention or anything like that, but just something needs to be done and you do it and you're kind of working in the background, and people will notice that. And if you got that servant's heart and God wants you to be a deacon, he'll impress it upon pastor's heart or the people of the church. And if he lays it on their heart, they'll do it. But if you're serving and you feel like God's calling you to be a deacon, just keep serving. Because like I said earlier, that's what a deacon is, just a servant. I have helped carry out trash, set up chairs. It's not always about teaching a Sunday school class or actually talking to somebody and them coming to Christ. I mean, that is part of it. I mean, you should serve that way too, but it's the little things in the background lots of time that make everything else click.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're serving and people see that and you're doing it for the right reason, then it'll work out.
Being willing to pitch in and get your hands dirty when you're in the shadows really sets the stage for being able to do the big things, I believe, because it shows people who may or may not see it how much you really care.
Exactly.
So I completely agree with you, man. Just that's something that I think all of us need to be reminded of, is just keep plugging away, keep serving. Even when it feels like you're spinning your wheels, you are not, because the Lord has never intended for us to be on this earth just to spin our wheels.
if he's laid it on your heart to do something, do it.
Yeah, there's purpose in it. And above all else, that purpose is to glorify him. So that's what matters the most.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's a pat on the back or somebody says you thank you or anything, as long as you're serving, doing what God's told you to do. That's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, final question that we always ask everyone, the plug of the week. What might your plug of the week be that you want to share with our listeners?
But I want to plug in that F260 Bible study we're doing at church. I think we started it after you and Allie left. It's a year-long go through the Bible. Sunday school lessons come from it. They had all the material Sunday school lessons. Glenn's sermons have come from it. It's going through chronologically, so that gets kind of confusing when you start flipping back and forth through different books at different times. But it ties everything, how Christ was God's plan all along, and how everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. And you got 5 days of Bible study, Monday through Friday, and a Bible verse that you memorize each week. And I have seen more about the Bible and how everything ties together from Old Testament and New Testament by doing this study than I ever have before. It's great. And the discipleship books that go along with it are wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, my plug, it actually goes right along with the F260 by Robbie Gallaty. I was going to plug Firmly Planted, which is his second book behind Growing Up. I think either you're going through that right now or maybe you already have. Did you already go through that one?
Yeah, we have just finished that book, and in about a week or two, we're probably going to do the third one.
Awesome. Yeah, so I've just gotten into it within the last couple of weeks, but it has been a wonderful follow-up to the book Growing Up. I know on a previous episode, Corey plugged Growing Up, and so now I'm plugging Firmly Planted, and you're plugging F260. James, I don't know what you're about to plug, but we got a Robbie Gallaty theme going on here, man, so don't mess it up. But Firmly Planted, that's a wonderful book. It's a follow-up to Growing Up. It continues to take you deeper and deeper into your one-on-one walk with the Lord. And on top of that, shows you how to take other people with you into that as well.
Exactly.
Well, I will echo Guy's plug. I'm going through the same study, and I've enjoyed it. I think it's a great study, just, you know, walking through scripture. And then other than that, I was trying to find my resource this week, and I thought I had a book on deacons, one that I really wanted to recommend, but I cannot find it, and the guys are looking at the mess of my bookshelf over here, so you can see why I can't find it, because I have stuff everywhere right now. But I guess my recommendation is going to be more of a challenge to the pastors out there that may be listening, is invest in your deacons. Take up some time, take them for a cup of coffee, a meal, and get to know them if you don't know them, because if you've caught anything from what Guy said, it's one thing that I think that deacons do. They have their fingertips on the pulse of the church. They can, if they're doing their job, they know what the needs and how to meet those needs of the church is in ways that sometimes we pastors can't know. And so I want to encourage you to spend time with your deacons and pour into them and get to know them, and then let them speak into what's going on in the church. I think so often we don't listen to the deacons like we should when it comes to practical ministry. So that's the only plugs I have.
Awesome. Well, Guy, do you have any final comments before we close out another episode?
Well, I appreciate the chance to do this, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity.
Absolutely, man. James, you got anything left, bro?
Well, I just want to point out before we get off of here, because I meant to do this earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt Daniel, is that just so the listeners know, Guy actually taught me in 7th and 8th grade science. So I just wanted to point that one out for everybody.
Yeah, years ago.
Years ago. Hey, he's not that old. He just looks it. Well, guys, I appreciate it. It's been an awesome episode. I hope and pray that our listeners are encouraged through this. And as James reminded you all on our most recent episode, we are continuing to pray for you, for your ministries. And we really do hope and pray that this show is serving as an encouragement to you. We hope and pray that it's something that you look forward to every other week to listen to. And, you know, we hope definitely that this is honoring the Lord and glorifying God in what we're doing. And so we appreciate all of you in listening. If you think about it, go and rate us on iTunes and help us out with that. Help us continue to get a little bit more exposure so that others will see that this is out there. We want this to continue to serve as a ministry, a helpful ministry to you guys. So we thank you for that. And this has been another episode of the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss ministry.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in. I'm sick of running, running into the web.
strikes my back, about time to start kicking and screaming. Gotta get out of here fast, I'm running. On a one-way train to a place where they know my head and my-